This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Nye's back in the net for Tavares. Tavares coming out, sends it in a goal. They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Riley! Mo Riley! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you this morning?
Holy Mackinac. Very
Holy
well.
Holy Mackinac is right. And also joining us this morning is former Maple Leaf, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Leapin' Lou, how are you this morning?
Nice and relaxed, guys.
You're doing a little bit of leaping last night, Lou? I certainly saw Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas. I was a little bit worried about Sheldon Keefe this morning. He must have jumped 3 feet in the air. I was a little bit worried he was going to hurt himself.
Don't worry, he's got a nice soft landing anyways.
Anyways, for those of you out there that haven't heard the news, just in case, I'm sure you all have. Our beloved Toronto Maple Leafs have made it to the second round. Naz, my throat's a little bit sore this morning.
Hallelujah
is correct. We've been waiting a long time. I think it's 2004. We took out the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. I can't say I must say I'm absolutely and utterly thrilled. Overtime. Third overtime game in Tampa that the Leafs won.
And we beat the Lightning with a 2-1 score. Can you believe that?
2-1 score in their barn. Let's go through that. Before we get into it, just to let our listeners know, obviously we're going to do a little bit of celebration today. We don't get these opportunities that many times. I mean, I'm still some of those games that some of those game seven losses over the course of the last 9 years we've been on the air. Man, let's have some fun today. We deserve it. And
we sure do. And Florida is going to be playing tonight against Boston.
And that should be an interesting one. Just to let our listeners know, our proud sponsor from Pizzaville, the Contardi family, they're thrilled about the Toronto Maple Leafs victory.
And boy, can Mo Riley ever make a pizza, eh?
Yeah, Morgan Riley's been their spokesman for this year. He did a sponsorship deal with Pizzaville. Churning those pizzas out of the oven all year long on those fantastic Pizzaville ads. And got a text from our sponsor Angelo this morning, says we got to celebrate, so we're going to be raining Pizzaville gift cards today. Thanks to the good people at Pizzaville, we're going to give away seven of them, Naz, in celebration of 1967. So seven Pizzaville coupons today. I'll give out the numbers, call at various times in the show. We're going to keep our producer Dan busy today. He'll take seven calls throughout the show. You're welcome to call at any time. You may have to hold. Maybe the lines, our producer will be busy. But quickly, I'll give you those numbers. 416-360-0740. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We're giving, like I said, it's raining pretty hard today outside, but it's raining Pizzaville gift cards today. Call in at any time during the show. Lou, let's get you in here. You said you were pretty calm. You may have been the only Leaf fan out there that was calm last night. Your reaction to the victory?
Oh, I thought it was a great game. Both teams really battled hard. The Leafs made sure that they really took care of the front of their net, because I think they blocked I don't know how many shots last night, and they didn't want anything to get through to Samsonov. And it just goes to show you that the common denominator is in the playoffs, put the puck to the net because anything can happen. And that's what's happened the last three games in Tampa. They got by that first guy. And when the puck gets through, and you do a good job of a block in the view of the goalie, you got a great chance of scoring a goal or getting a great opportunity.
Yeah, certainly. Naz, our sponsor last week, pointed out to us that the rookie, Matthew Nyes,
created the opportunity for Tavares to score.
Opportunity for Tavares to score. And he was on the ice for all three overtime goals. You know, he plays, we'd call it a simple game. He goes up and down his wing and he's physical on the puck. And, got to give him credit, Naz.
Wait till he plays well defensively, how good this player is going to be. Because he's got a lot to learn in his own end. But he really, really played well last night.
And we give him all the credit. And Sheldon Keefe decided we were going to go 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. He didn't dress Justin Hall, who came under a lot of criticism after Game 5. And also, Hall had been on the ice for 14 of the 20 goals so far in the series. So they made the decision last night to do something a little bit different. Lou, do you agree with it's easy to agree with the decision after you've won the game.
Well, honestly, the one thing that he was looking at, and we can point out to probably the defense on Toronto looked a little bit slow in game five, and the way the series is going, I think Gio it was taking its toll on him and Brody and a couple of the other guys. So what he did is put a little bit more flexibility on a D by adding two defensemen and taking away two offensive players, putting Bunting back in and telling the boys, listen, we're going to ride with you guys. And they rode with their horses last night knowing that it was an all-or-win game. They didn't want to bring it to Game 7, and they had to play Marner, Matthews, Tavares, and O'Reilly and Nylander a lot more than they would in a normal game.
Yeah, certainly. And, you want to win the playoffs, Naz, it all starts at the back end. And over the course of the last few years, we had Freddie Anderson, who was criticized. We had Jack Campbell, who was criticized. I don't think maybe you can criticize Samsonov in the first game, but after that, he went toe-to-toe with...
He was lights out last night.
Last night, a little bit of criticism over a goal in Game 5, but overall, his body of work in this particular series, they couldn't have done it without him that level.
Going with 11 forwards creates more ice time for Marner and Lewis Wright, with Marner and Matthews, for sure. And that's a big key of the victory. Now, I'm wondering if they'll do that in the next series. I think they are, because that's the right... remedy, I think.
Well, it seemed, you go with the 7D. I agree. Giordano seemed like he was starting to get run down. If you start with 7 and one of your defensemen isn't necessarily playing that well, then you go down to 6. You see how it works out. But last night it worked out. I thought Gustafsson played well in his minutes. I thought Liljegren played well in his minutes and in the roles that they gave him, and why not? You got 40 million dollars tied up in a couple of forwards. You know what? Austin Matthews, he's big, young, strong. I'm sure he can handle the extra workload. What do you think, Lou?
Well, at the beginning of a series, and if you've seen the Florida-Boston series, it's not going to be easy, a piece of cake to get through them, because they're very physical on both ends of the ice. So I would say they're probably going to go back to their normal 6 and 12 at the beginning and see how that goes, and then adjust as the series goes on, because it's going to be a lot more physical series than the Tampa series was.
Yeah, it certainly is, but... You know, we got to the next round. So, and just to let our listeners know, we've got coming up after the first break, we've got Bruce Boudreau. So certainly we'll ask, like to ask him the question. He's a Toronto boy, and from my understanding, he's still a passionate Leafs fan, unless he's coaching on another team and playing against the Leafs. But I still think he bleeds a little bit of blue and white, and we'll certainly ask him that. But I'm interested to ask him the question. How does it seems like this takes a lot of the pressure off. And might even see a more freewheeling Leafs team in the next, not freewheeling from an offensive point of view, but not a team that is necessarily playing tight. Lou, is the how do the players and coaching staff react to the fact that now we've got this sort of, for lack of a better term, proverbial monkey off their back? What do you sense how they're going to come out in the next series?
Well, I think John Tavares couldn't have put it any better, and that's why they had him as a spokesman. Enjoy the moment and get ready for the next series, because this thing isn't over. And their goal is to get to the Stanley Cup and win it. So, guys, let's take care of our enjoyment and fun right now. And the next couple of days, we'll get ready for either Florida or Boston.
Ness?
Yeah, the big key of the game was Morgan Rielly, of the whole series. He played great. And he really stepped it up from the regular season. Regular season, he got hurt, remember, and that's a tough injury to come back from. And he was terrific. It's really, really good.
I got to get this joke out of my system. It's the Pizzaville pizza, obviously.
Obviously.
Anyways, I'll give up that shtick now. But he has been playing better. And all kidding aside,
he's the one guy you don't fear now with the puck and carrying it out of his own end.
You know, he's been skating both ends of the ice. You got to give credit where credit is due. Criticized at times during the season, but you know, he had an injury that he had to get over.
A very tough one to get over,
right?
Too.
And it's important if you've got defensemen that are able to get into the attack. It makes things a lot more difficult for the other team's defense.
Having Liljegren back there did that because he was carrying the puck out and he was carrying it very easily out of the zone, and Morgan Rielly was too. So good move.
It certainly was. On that note, Lou, we're going to take it to break. To all our listeners who it looks like we've given away 3-4 of those Pizzaville gift cards. Phones have been lighting up. I think we've got a couple more to give away. If you call in and the phone's ringing, just give it some time. Our producer's busy. He will try to get to you. He's got a lot of work this morning. But certainly we're going to give away seven Pizzaville gift cards. I think we've got a couple left. Numbers are 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. And once again, our sincere thanks to our sponsors at Pizzaville for celebrating the joy with all of our listeners this morning. We'll be right back with Bruce Boudreau.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest! We'll never be the cheapest! We'll never be the snazziest dressed!"
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best! At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca.
Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and we also live in video stream on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour former Toronto Marley, former Toronto Maple Leaf, and also a former recent coach with the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, I'm talking about Bruce Boudreaux. Good morning, Bruce, and welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
We really appreciate it. We're obviously thrilled this morning. We're all decked out in our blue and white. Bruce, you're a Toronto boy. Naz and I remember you so well from your Toronto Marley days. Attended so many Marley games when you were playing with those great Marley teams in the early 70s. Grew up somewhere near you in West End, North York. You went to Boylan. We went to a local high school that was close by in West End, North York. I got to ask you, Bruce, do you still bleed blue and white in a certain way?
In a certain way, of course I do. I mean, when I'm working with other teams, I sort of don't believe blue and white, but when I'm just a regular fan, you certainly want them to do well. I mean, probably 3 nights ago, I was probably the most frustrated I'd been as a Leaf fan when they lost Game 5, but, you know, somehow things have a tendency to work out. Like, I mean, last year I thought the Leafs outplayed Tampa and didn't win. This year I thought Tampa played them, and they did win. So, I mean, I'm happy for them. The relief of pressure when you're watching the game and you're looking at Dubas and Sheldon and the rest of the coaching staff on the bench when they win, because if they had a loss last night, it would have been a bear to, you know, for the next 2 days in Toronto. And so I'm happy for those guys because it's been a long time coming.
Bruce, how did you get the name Gabby, the nickname Gabby?
Well, just because I guess I talked a lot. I mean, I have had it since I've been 15, so it's been going on for an awful long time. So like, you know, once you get to know me, I mean, my friends call me that, so I have no problem with it. It's not a really derogatory nickname, so I can live with it.
I've always said, Bruce, one of the things missing from today's game is I wouldn't say players with character, players who don't necessarily show their character off the ice like you guys did in the old days. And I miss those nicknames. And talking about nicknames, joining us as our co-host this morning is Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Lou, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Gabby, how are you, sir?
Lou, it's been a long time, but for the listeners, I've known him for 50 years, and it's good to hear from you.
Listen, we do have a big history going back to our ball hockey days and playing against each other in the minors when Hershey beat you in Game 6 in the finals when you guys were probably heavily favored with Paul Gardner and the team that you had there. I think you ended up 40 points ahead of us, but at the tail end, it just goes to show you that a bunch of guys that wanted it a little bit more came up.
Whoa. I let you get away with the first 30 seconds. You won. You got lucky. You won 2 games in double overtime from a guy that didn't even play. So, I mean, and you had a playing coach. My goodness. And you played in the old barn, which is where my junior team plays out of, so I got to like that. But Yes, you did win in six games, and in 1979, I believe, or 80, one of those two, and it was a great series, and I'm still, like I live in Hershey now, so everywhere I go, I get reminded of it. So thank you very much, Lou.
Well, thank you, and I know it is an old barn. There's a lot of memories there, and the bigger barn right now that you did coach in and take the Hershey Bears to the finals one year. It's a great place, and I think we're going back there for our anniversary in October, if I'm not mistaken, to celebrate the 79-80 season. But anyways, on a better note, it looked like, I'm going to keep away from the Leafs here, it looked like you weren't having that much fun behind the bench in Vancouver. How tough was it to be in that situation and to more or less have to look up to Rutherford and GM on a regular basis with the pressure that was put on you?
Well, it was frustrating because we lost. We were losing, and I hadn't been really used to that. But as for the other stuff, I really can't comment on anything that went on to Vancouver till my contract runs out, which is June 30th. But if you phone me July 1st, I'll give you a better answer.
Bruce, wanted to ask you, last night the Leafs got over a significant, I don't know if I want to call it it's a hurdle of some kind. They hadn't gotten out of the first round in a long, long time. And certainly the with this particular collection of players, you know, you sort of focus on the last few years. Now that they're past the first round, how much of a difference does that make for them in terms of, they must have been under a significant amount of pressure. Is there a weight lifted off their shoulders, Bruce?
Absolutely. I mean, I have called them, if they get past the first round, to get to the finals. I just think now they're going to be playing freewheeling hockey, and watching them all year and playing against them and seeing them. When they play a good team, they can shut it down. And if they get the goaltending like they got last night, I don't see, especially, you know, I mean, if there's two things. One, if Boston wins, you see that there's weakness in their armor because they can lose. As you've watched, Ullmark is finally starting to look human. Maybe he's fatiguing. I don't know. And if Florida wins, I think definitely will have the confidence that they can beat that team. So you get past those two guys, one of those two teams, then I think it's a crapshoot in the conference final. And like I said, I've picked them. I actually picked them to win it in five this series, but they won it in six, but I can see them going a long ways now that, I mean, just you see the raw emotion of the players when they won. It was a quarterfinal, for crying out loud, and yet the city and the players looked like they won the cup, which, you know, is quite something. But, I mean, that's what the pressure of being a player in Toronto does to you.
Is Tampa Bay looking at a rebuild now? They have a veteran roster, and it looks like they're going to need a rebuild. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I don't know if it's a complete rebuild, but I mean, I think, and believe me, I've had them and I really love them, but I mean, Perry's and Maroons might not be re-signed, but I mean, they got two new young defensemen in Perbix and the other guy, Radish, and so, I mean, they'll start with them. The guys they've traded for are not old. I mean, the Pauls and the Genos and such. So, I mean, I don't think they need a new rebuild, but they're going to have to fill the cupboards a little bit with a little more depth. And I think that's where they ran into trouble against the Leafs.
Lou?
Where am I going to go with this?
Do you not think that... you know what's going to be the toughest trophy to win?
No, we're having problems with your signal here.
On certain players to play a lot more now as a series, as you move on in the series, and how are they going to handle it not knowing what's in store for them ahead?
They'll handle, you know what, if they can handle getting by the first round, against Tampa. I don't think anything's going to scare any of them right now. I mean, I think this is, they think they're playing with bank money right now. And to me, it would be like, let's just, you know, full speed ahead. Let's go get these guys. And especially, you know, you got Austin Matthews really starting to turn it up. I mean, if you could get Marner and Nylander playing with a little more gumption, I think, or a little more emotion, I think everything's going to be good, because they've established the fact that Samsonov's their goalie and he's playing really well. So I don't think they're afraid of anybody. The last time they played Boston, it was a 2-1 overtime loss, but for 60 minutes, they outplayed them in their building 1-1, and it was a game that I think they needed to prove to themselves that they could play with these guys, and I think they did. So I don't think they've got any fear right now. They're going to enjoy it, and I don't know when the series will start, probably Wednesday or Thursday, but I think they're gonna be ready to go, and if they've got any aches and pains, I mean, it gives a few days for those guys to get over them.
Boston Panthers, are you surprised by how that series has turned in the last couple of games, Bruce? And what's your forecast for tonight?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hard to go against Boston. I don't care. They haven't played great. They've been giving the puck up a lot. And I think, sometimes it's not good to have no adversity during the course of the year and have your first part of adversity being in the playoffs, and the pressure is a little bit on them. Like, I mean, Florida could go away if they lose and say, well, you know what, we gave the best team in the world 7 games and feel good about themselves. But if Boston loses, that's going to be quite a thing in Boston. Like, for the first time ever, when they played the same night, their ratings were higher in game five against than the Celtics. So I mean, you know, people are watching them in Boston. So I think there's a little bit of pressure on Boston. And if Florida scores the first goal, it's going to be a long night.
Your thoughts on the play of Matthew Nyes, Bruce?
Obviously he's going to be a Leaf for a while. He played pretty well. I don't know if he's going to be like a 35-goal guy, but he's going to be a pretty solid player. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he goes to the dirty areas. I mean, I think he stepped in really well when Bunting went out, and now he's established. I think it's pretty hard to get him out of the lineup.
Certainly, he's it's just pretty telling that he's been on the ice for all 3 overtime goals that the Leafs have scored. I don't know if that's coincidental or is certainly in last night's game. He made that slick little pass to Tavares behind the net. Bruce, I'd like to ask you, there's a gentleman that's playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs that you got a first-hand look at out in Vancouver, Luke Shen. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on Luke.
Well, I love him. I mean, and if you look at Toronto, I didn't look at the minutes played last night, but him and Riley seem to play the whole night, and they're the top 2 pairings. And he's been, I think, the steal of the trade market. Quite frankly, I mean, I think he has come in, he's settled down that team. They know that they've got a big brother there that can play, that's willing to stand up for all of them. He blocks shots. When he has time and space, he makes the right play, and he's a great person, and I'm sure he's loved in the dressing room. So, I mean, I was thinking this last night when they won. I said the smartest thing the Leafs would do right now is sign him to a 2-year extension and let the boys know that they've got him there for a while.
Yeah, that would be great. Lou?
You're absolutely right. It's more or less, it frees Morgan Riley up to be a little bit more of a fourth attacker there, knowing that he's got a lot more stability and back on the back end of it. Because I've noticed that Morgan Riley has taken a lot more chances on the offensive side. But now, speaking of that, which way do you go? Do you go 11-7 or do you go the original 12-6, Bruce, going into a brand new
Lou, we're having difficulty with your signal. We may have to get our producer to reconnect with you. I don't know if you heard that, Bruce.
Did he say something about whether 11-7 or 12-6?
That's exactly.
You heard it perfectly.
You heard it perfectly. I don't know. I don't know how you figured out.
Well,
that.
I heard the twelve, and I put it together. But I mean, personally, as a coach, I like going 12-6. It evens things out. But when you've got the talent of the Leafs do up front, or Edmonton has up front, or Tampa had in previous years, going 11-7 makes sense because you get your best forwards on the ice more. I mean, you can imagine, let's just take Edmonton for a second here. I mean, they can go lines 1, 2, 3, and then on 4 they put Draisaitl or McDavid on, and then they go 1, 2, 3, or 2-3, 2-1-3, and then put another one on. So they're getting to double shift these guys all the time, and it's tough to defend. I mean, the negative portion is defensemen 7 and 6 get about 7 minutes a game, and they don't really get into it. And the defensive coaches hate doing it because they're not used to juggling that much. They can juggle 5, but they're not used to juggling 7. But it worked last night, again, with the teams that have great offenses. It makes it an awful lot more difficult, especially on the road, when you're trying to match lines or if you're trying to match lines.
Bruce, scary group of forwards in Edmonton, aren't they?
They're scary, yeah. I mean, they've been feeling it. And I got to think, you know, I mean, L.A. is a pretty man, a lot better than, bowing out in 6 games. I mean, they had a really good regular season, and when they were on, they were as tough a team to beat as anybody. So if Edmonton can beat them in 6, it means they're for real. I got to believe that it's going to be a really, really good series against Vegas, because Vegas has been the best team in the NHL since the All-Star break, and they play a very tight system, and their goaltending is fine. And if they're healthy, it's going to make for great hockey.
We've been talking to Bruce. Bruce, we don't want to overstay our welcome. We thank you very much. But I did want to chat with you about before we let you go. It's an anniversary this year, a special anniversary. It's the 50th anniversary of that incredible 1973 Marlies team that won the Memorial Cup. And you look down that lineup, so many great players, so many great memories. There's been a couple of events recently that Paul Patsku has organized for that team. They had an event down at during a Marlies game, and also an event at a luncheon event for the 73 Marlies. An incredible team, Bruce. I want to take the opportunity of thanking you and all the players on that team for leaving so many incredible memories in all of us, that we were privileged to go down to the gardens back in the day and spend Sunday afternoons and Friday nights watching you guys. So many great players on that team. One guy I remember like crazy on the 73 team was Paulin Bordeleau. I just thought he was just phenomenal as a junior hockey player. Of course, you guys followed that up 2 years later in 75, but the 73 team was pretty special. Bruce, your fond recollections of those incredible guys you played with.
Well, you know what? We only lost 7 games all year before the playoffs. So it's just in that alone goes to show you it was a special season. But I mean, anytime you've got Mark Howe and Paulin Bordeleau and Wayne Dillon and Peter Marin and you go down the line to third and fourth line guys and NHL players. The defense was outstanding. Mike Pometier was in the net. It was just a great team. And I mean, but the thing I remember most is, and I mean, you couldn't get drafted until you were 21 back then. So I mean, junior itself had so many superstars there. I mean, when we played Ottawa, they had Kimball and Pomerantz, who would have been long gone if it was an 18-year-old draft. Like Peterborough, they had Doug Gibson, as Lou knows, was his coach when he beat us. But, I mean, and many more players from Stan Jonathan to Colton Campbell. You know, I mean, and I can go down the list of great players on every team, from Rick Middleton,
Oh, we're having a little problem with Bruce's signal. Bruce, are you still there? We may have to let this one go.
I'm looking forward to the 50-year reunion in 2 years for the next team.
Thanks so much for that, Bruce. I will always remember, I think it was Game 7 or Game 8 against Peterborough. I can't remember.
Game 8, the penalty shot.
It was the penalty shot that Paul-Ann Bartolo, Naz and I were there that night, and we were sitting in the Grays, picked up, the place was packed, largest crowd, I think, in Junior A history up until that point. I can still picture Paul-Ann Bartolo going in and scoring that goal and the whole place going absolutely nuts. I will never forget that. Bruce, like I said, we don't want to overstay our welcome with you. We really appreciate the time you've taken for us this morning, and we wish you all the best. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce Boudreau. We're going to go to break, then we're going to come back. Sorry, go ahead,
I remember
Naz.
The Red Barn coupons they gave.
They gave out Red Barn coupons. Yeah. Talking about coupons, apparently Dan, our producer, says we have one Pizzaville gift card left to go. We've given away six. We've got number 7 in honor of 1967. And we've got one more we're going to give away. We're going to come back. We're going to continue some Leafs talk with Matt Marchese, Sportsnet's Matt Marchese. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. I was told last night that I'm showing my age by introducing it with www. Apparently,
I didn't know that.
Apparently, that's only old guys do that stuff. But
and we're old, man. We're old.
It's Zoomer Radio. Talking about old, we're thrilled to welcome some a young person on the show today. We got to drop the average age a little bit here. Of course, I'm talking about Sportsnet's Matt Marchese. Good morning, Matt. How are you this morning?
I feel great, guys. How about you?
I don't know. How old were you in 2004, by the way?
15 years old.
Okay, so you've suffered a bit too. Not as much as your father and I have suffered, but you've suffered a bit. We wanted to get a little bit of a youthful perspective. You know, you looked down at Maple Leaf Square last night, and when they scored, those are generally all younger people. and they just went absolutely wild. And then there was partying in the streets. They shut down Young and Dundas. You know, Keefe and Dubas went crazy. From your perspective, Matt, appreciate your thoughts on how are you. Forget about how Naz and I are feeling. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good. And the reason why is that, well, first of all, I will say all those young people that were partying after a first round victory, I laugh and I say, well, you should act like you've been there before. But they've never been there before. So they have no idea what that's like. This is like their Stanley Cup. But no, it was honestly, when the goal happened, I kind of just collapsed to my knees and I said, I can't believe that they did this. Only because we've just been through the ringer so many times with, you know, game seven losses. And I did a show yesterday and I put out the stat, and you guys will appreciate this because I know on your old cable show that you guys used to bet the pony, so you'll understand this. So I was...
You told them that story, Ines.
I saw the video. Forget the story. I seen the video proof, Wally.
Okay.
So... A buddy of mine sent this to me. So in 2013, that was one of their, you know, I think that was the, I guess that would have been the Bruins collapse.
That was the, that was the original one, yeah.
So if you had bet $100 against the Leafs in that game, and then you took the winnings from that bet and re-bet the Leafs, against the Leafs in every single elimination game since that point, you would be $346,000 richer.
I am processing that. I'm saying I've suffered greatly. I said I should have known better. I should have done those bets. At least I'd be feeling better
your
about it all after these 9 years.
Your buddy has a lot of free time, I guess. Your buddy has a lot of free time to come up with that one.
Yeah, that's a lot of schedule. So basically, after all of that, we look at last night. And the fact, like, I was talking to a few people, and they kept saying, you know, like, there's no way that they're going to beat Tampa three times in Tampa. And I had that inkling in the back of my mind, too. But the fact that they became the first road team in NHL history, or the first team in NHL history to win three overtime road games, kind of tells you something about why this team is a little
stat.
Bit different.
Matt, I got to be honest with you. That is a fascinating stat. I did not know that.
Yeah, and I saw it last night, and I went, okay, that kind of makes sense because, let's face it, it's really hard to win three road games in the playoffs, let alone three overtime road games.
Wow.
And we can make the argument that in three of the Leafs' four wins, they were not the better team.
Yeah,
game two, they were the better team.
Lou, are you still with us? Let's bring you back into this.
I'm here. What's that, Wally?
I want to bring you back into it. Go ahead.
No, you know what? You're absolutely right. It's tough going into a building, and I think we talked about it with Bruce in 79-80. We walked into Moncton and beat them twice in overtime, one in double overtime. So it is tough, especially with the history that the Leafs have had in the first round, because they really could have given up at any time. They definitely were outplayed in the three games, but I think one of the turning points might have been that when they came back from a 4-1 deficit in game four, it gave them a lot more confidence going in to that playoff, into the overtime, and the overtime last night.
Naz?
There is a lot of pressure to not have Justin Hall in the lineup. Do you think Keith was trying to keep him in or not?
Well, I mean, he was horrible. He was absolutely dreadful. Outside of blocking Steven Stamkos' one-timers on the power play, which it's not an easy thing to do. I get that, but he was bad. Like in the five games prior to last night, he had been on for 14 of 20 goals a game. Now, for those keep playing the home game, that's not very good. He was on the ice for like 73% of the Leafs' goals, something like that. I don't know. I'm not a math major, but the point is that at some point you have to make a change. You can't keep riding the same guy if he's that much of a liability. Do I think that TJ Brody's was good in the series? No, I don't think Jake McCabe was very good in the series either. But they made the change yesterday. They bring in Gustafson, they bring in Liljegren.
I was actually very surprised that they went 11-7, and I don't think that that's something that we should get accustomed to, because I don't think that that's something that the Leafs want to do. I really don't. I think it was more, it was 11-7 because Gustafson and Liljegren have barely played over the last month. And I think it was, they just didn't, in case one was a lot worse than the other, they could play the one guy a little bit more so that he didn't get exposed. So I do think that they're, I think Sheldon Keith likes Justin Hall. I think that the team likes Justin Hall. But at some point when you are trying to win, you can't play favorites. It's just like, you know, Bunting getting back in the lineup for Lafferty and Zach Aston-Reese. I anticipate that when the next series starts, whether it's against Boston or Florida, that they go back to 12-6. Because I don't think that, like somebody pointed out to me yesterday, like you don't go to 11-7 because you want to. You go to 11-7 because you have to. Nobody wants to do that. I think, you know, you get your top stars out on the ice more up front, sure. But there's also something to be said about having consistent lines and guys playing together for an entire game. When you're kind of shuffling all over the place, it really hurts that chemistry and it becomes a pain. So I think, I don't want to say I think they were fortunate to get out of that game yesterday, because you should never apologize for having a good goalie. And I thought Samsonov was excellent yesterday. That was his best game of the series. Hey, he out-dueled the guy who may be one of the greatest playoff goalies of all time in a six-game series. Yep. So I just think going forward, I'm just curious to see what happens now. Like, it's weird to say, but the Leafs are going to the second round, and I don't remember what that feels like. So even Jim Ralph on the radio broadcast last night, Joe Bolin does the whole thing after they score the goal, and Jim Ralph says, okay, so what do we do now? We don't know. So I'm curious to see what happens going forward, but what I think has happened with this team is they got that monkey off their back and they can now move forward and they don't have to worry about, oh, the, you know, they haven't won a playoff first round in, you know, 19 years or something like that. I think that they can move forward, and I really think that the Stars were the Stars in that series, and I anticipate that that's going to be the case going forward.
What do you think of the play of Morgan Rielly, Matt?
Well, I think the guy scored two goals all season, and he has three or four in the playoffs, so I think it's three. And I think the biggest thing for him, he had gone through multiple D partners throughout the year. Like, I know he played a bit with TJ Brody, and then he was hurt for a bit. Like, it's been a really inconsistent year. But I think they found something with him and Luke Shen. I really do think that Luke Shen allows Morgan Rielly to be Morgan Rielly. It allows him to free roam a little bit more because you have a guy that you trust back there. But they tried Morgan Rielly with McCabe. They tried Rielly with, and Rielly and Brody was a good pair, but I think that Rielly is better suited with Luke Shen. And so I think because he's been able to free roam, we've seen the offensive game that we have kind of come to expect from Morgan Rielly really come to fruition in these playoffs. And again, in the playoffs, you win, like you do win because, you know, your bottom six guys are solid. But when you've got a core group like the Leafs have with the talent that they have, that's what's going to win you a Stanley Cup. And Morgan Rielly needed to be a big contributor to that, and I think he has. Like, he was in front of, like, I mean, I would never condone this, but he was in front of the net on the winning goal yesterday.
Yeah, Joe Bolin thought he tipped it. Yeah.
Yeah, as a coach, that would drive you absolutely bonkers, but he was there, and he was causing a ruckus in front of the net. And so I think that he's been way better than anybody could have anticipated, especially how his season went so far this year.
Lou?
You know, you couldn't have said it any better. It does, and I think I said it earlier in the show, that with Luke Shen back there, knowing that he's the stopgap, it gives them a lot more time to, and a lot more confidence to freewheel and be that fourth attacker, because you know how hard it is when you're attacking with four guys instead of three. It really throws off the defensive responsibilities of the defensive team, because that defenseman is always jumping in the play, and if you're not smart and alert, like some teams are, that fourth defenseman, it can give a big advantage to attacking four on three. But on the other side of this. How are Marner, Nylander, and Matthews going to adjust to a second series now, knowing that they're going to be dependent on even more than they were in the first, because obviously the wear and tear from the first, it's going to bear on you depending on who you play. How's it going to affect them if you do go 11-7 or 11-5? Yeah, 11-7. Sorry.
Man, if they go 11-7 for multiple games, I think that's an issue, because in the first few games of a series, you can kind of sort of get away with it because it's early. You can try different things. Like, you don't want to try too many different things because you never want to get down early in a series. You don't want to be down 2-0 against Florida or Boston and try and come back. Like, that just isn't going to fly. But I think that it also depends on who they play. I know Florida has been, they're a little bit better defensively than they were last year under Paul Maurice this year. And the Bruins are a very good defensive team until the playoffs came around. And now all of a sudden you look at them and go, well, that doesn't look like the same team. So I'm curious to see, it's going to be kind of matchup dependent. I think Florida is physical and can be physical, but I don't think they're nearly as physical as Boston, which I think helps the Leafs. Now, having said all that, Tampa's a really physical team too, and the Leafs were able to manage them and really kind of do a number on them. You know, Noel Acciari is leading the playoffs in hits. I guess as of last night he was. And so I think when the Leafs are just built in a way that I think they can withstand physical play, which is also why I believe that those stars, they're ready for this moment. Like, whatever comes to them, I think they're ready for this moment. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Washington Capitals before, you know, they finally beat the Penguins. They had to get over that hump, and now we talk about Alex Ovechkin as a winner and one of the greatest goal scorers. Well, actually, he is the greatest goal scorer of all time. No disrespect to Wayne Gretzky, but Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time. And so I think that now that that's gone, that you can't get past the first round narrative, now that that's gone, I think that these guys are, I think they're actually going to play a little bit more loose, and I think they're going to be even more comfortable in the moment because they don't have that storyline following them around everywhere. And I think that's important. I thought those guys, Nylander had his moments where he was great, and Nylander had his moments where he looked at him and go, Willie, what the hell are you doing? But Marner, I thought, was great the whole series. Matthews was, to me, on a different level. And I know that Marner finished with more points in the series, but Matthews, to me, was on a different level. He scored 5 goals in the 6 games. Can't ask for anything more from your best player, from a former Hart Trophy winner. So I think they're ready for this moment, and these guys showed me a little bit more than they had in previous playoff years. And I think that I don't think the moment is too big for them anymore.
Does Florida have a shot tonight, Matt?
This I didn't think Florida had a shot in this series. So the fact that it's gone to 7 tells me that they do. And I throw caution into the wind in Game 7s because, like, I know that they're in Boston. But Florida forced a Game 6 by beating the Bruins in Boston. Allmark doesn't look great. I don't even know if he's starting tonight. It might be Swayman. And so, I mean, do I anticipate that it's going to be another 7-5 game? No. But if it was, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that last game was absolutely bananas. Like, I had never seen anything like that. They were just trading goals like crazy. It's supposed to be the playoffs. It's supposed to lock down. So I wouldn't throw anything past the Panthers at this point, and history is not on the Bruins' side here. Like, President's Trophy winners do not win Stanley Cups, generally speaking. Like, I think there's been, like, 3 in the last 20 years that have finished with the most points in the regular season or won a championship. So I think that Florida does have a shot. I don't think that momentum carries from game to game. I do think it carries from shift to shift. So we'll see what happens. Like, if Allmark starts tonight, I feel like all bets are off because he really hasn't been good.
No, he certainly hasn't. And the one thing about the Leafs, you look at a couple of the games and, you know, finally, after all these years, we finally got a bounce at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of times you do need a certain element of luck. Like in an overtime, you know, anything can happen in an overtime, as we've learned the hard way up until this year. Let's put it that way. But, You know, I saw the game last, you know, obviously watching the game last, I saw that goal and it bounces in off Radish's skate and I go, but this never happens to the Leafs.
It was the Corey Cross moment.
I go, yeah, something's different. We don't get those bounces. Finally we got, you know, and I guess you sort of, you know, good teams make their own breaks. You know, and we can say the Leafs got outplayed in most of the games in this series, other than, you know, they've sort of created this bend but not break defense. And you can play that kind of way if your goalie is sort of standing on his head. So I think it augurs well for the next series. I think Bruce Boudreau made the comment earlier that, you know, in the last game the Leafs played against Boston, they played well in Boston, game they could have easily won. You know, is that a harbinger? What, you know, and I understand playoff hockey's different. I get it. But, you know, this Leaf team seems, they have a resiliency that I haven't seen in Leafs teams in a long time. Maybe that's the word. They're resilient. And if they get, if Samsonov continues to play like he plays, who knows how far they can go. Your sense of that, Matt?
Yeah, I do agree. It is different. I think the roster makeup, the fact that they brought in some guys that have a little bit of jam, they brought in Ryan O'Reilly, who's won a Conn Smythe, he's won a Stanley Cup, he's won a Selke Trophy. Like, the guy's a winner. And when you bring in winners, that has an effect on you. And the fact that I think just the core group was sick and tired of losing. And you lose enough, you learn how to win. And so I think that that's been a large component of what's gone on here. But they are a resilient group. The fact that, you know, they came back late in game three, they came out monster deficit in game four, like 4-1 in the playoffs. Oh, we know what happens with 4-1. Yeah. It shouldn't happen.
Don't remind
me. Playoffs. Yeah. It really shouldn't. But now 4-1 goes the other way. Now 4-1 is on Tampa, yeah. Right? It's not on the Leafs anymore. It's done. It's over. So they are a resilient group. And honestly, I look at the rest of the way and I say, the Leafs are there with everybody. They're as good, if not better, than the majority of the team. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to have my dad come over and watch the game and half scream and almost wake up my daughter and then apologize for it after. It was the funniest thing that I've ever seen.
That's the way it used to be, Matt, in the good old days. Anyways, Matt, you know what live radio is like.
I do.
Our time has come to an end. Well, thank you so much for bringing your youthful exuberance to our Zoomer radio show. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Matt,
see you, son.
Matt Marchese, Sportsnet's Matt Marchese. Just to let our listeners know, we gave away all 7 Pizzaville gift cards. Elaine from Markham, Martin from Brampton, Rob from Lindsay, Wanda from Toronto, Linda from Innisfil, Carolyn from Toronto, and Pat from Cambridge. We will get those gift coupons out to you this week. Lou, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate the fact that you stayed calm and continue to stay calm. We'll keep you going here as long as we can throughout the playoffs. Hopefully the Leafs are going on a huge run. Naz, as always, the last word.
Go, Leafs,
Leafs go. To all our listeners, have a fantastic and safe week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.